Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I am your host, Rick Hughes, and I'd like to invite you to stay with me for the next 30 minutes. It could be some of the most important 30 minutes in your entire life. This show, The Flatline, is always concerning motivation, inspiration, and some education, and we do it with no manipulation, nor do we have any human speculation. This is simply a show about the Bible. It is a talk show, but not a call-in show. It's a monologue, not a dialogue. But I'm inviting you to stay tuned for about 30 minutes to hear something that perhaps might help you to verify and identify God's will for your life. And then if you would like to orient and adjust to that, you can feel free to do so. The Flatline is heard throughout seven cities across the United States every Sunday morning. And hopefully you're listening this morning. I don't know what time you may be listening, but I hope you've been with us before. If this is your first time, then let me simply explain that FLOT is the name of our show, F-L-O-T, and that stands for the forward line of troops, or sort of a main line of resistance. And what we're trying to teach on this radio show by using that acronym for FLOT, the forward line of troops, is that you can learn some tremendous problem-solving devices found in the Bible. Basically, there are 10 of them that we've developed on this radio show, and these 10 were taught to me by my pastor many years ago. But as you learn these 10 problem-solving devices and deploy them into the forward compartments of your soul, they act like a defensive perimeter. They keep out the adversity that may come into your life, because that's inevitable. However, that stress is optional, and you only get stress once you let adversity overrun the command post of your soul. And the command post of your soul is the thinking. It's the mentality of your soul. And this is where Satan will attack you and what you think, and he'll try to discourage you and defeat you by what you think. So please, as you stick with us every day, every Sunday as we come on this radio station, take a few notes or jot some stuff down. And if you need to contact us, always feel free to do so. You can go to the World Wide Web and simply type in www.bigrick.org. That's bigrick.org. And there you can email us, or you can send us a letter through the hard mail. And that would simply be Rick Hughes. And the address to write to us is Post Office Box 100. And the city that I live in is a suburb of Birmingham, and it's the city called Cropwell, Alabama. So that's Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, in Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. And we're not asking for any contributions. We never solicit contributions, and we don't sell advertising on this radio show. Therefore, this radio show is about the grace of God and the phenomenal principles involved in living the Christian life. Now, today we're going to be studying the influence and the effects of something that we've entitled the cosmic vortex. And you may wonder what that is, cosmic vortex. I first heard that term coined by a friend of mine named Pete, and Pete is a pastor in Georgia. And as Pete teaches the principles relating to the Christian life, the cosmic vortex is a system that believers get sucked into. The first question you might want to ask yourself, what is the cosmic vortex? Well, that comes from the Greek word cosmic, or cosmos. So if we're talking about the cosmos, you know what the cosmos is. That's the world. It's the Greek word for the world, or the earth, or the inhabitants of the earth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this cosmos?" And also in 1 Corinthians 3:19, the Bible says, "For the wisdom of this cosmos is foolishness to God." The cosmos is the cosmic system. It is the cosmic vortex. And we use the vortex to descriptively make it look like a tornado that's out spinning around and always trying to suck you into it. It's the spirit of the times, and the Germans called it the Zeitgeist. Very interesting word. And the Bible says that the wisdom of this world, and that word wisdom in the Greek New Testament is Sophia. So if I said the Sophia of the cosmos, is foolishness, or the Greek word moria, with God, or theos. So the Sophia of the cosmos is moria with theos. And we get from our word moria, moron, a fool. And so the wisdom of this world is indeed foolishness to God. And the cosmos offers foolish problem-solving devices. The cosmos is always out there. It's always spinning around. It's the world that's always luring you, or basically your children. If you are a parent or a grandparent, maybe you have children that are in the cosmos, that have been sucked into the world's system. And so today we want to talk about that. We want to talk about how kids or your grandchildren or your children have been sucked into the cosmos and what the cosmos is doing to them. And is there any hope that they will ever get out of the cosmos? Being sucked into the cosmic vortex is a terrible thing because, like a tornado, it'll take you down the road and drop you out where you don't belong. And like a tornado, it may even get you killed. So the cosmos, or the cosmic vortex, offers foolish problem-solving devices. You know, we teach 10 problem-solving devices on this radio show, 10 of them that we've been able to identify from the Bible. And the world has a lot of problem-solving devices. You know, the cosmos answers the problem of birth and the problem of death, physical birth and physical death. And it answers the problem of physical birth by promoting birth control. And that's very interesting when you research this. They have a morning after pill. They have a night before pill. They have a birth control shot. They have a birth control pill. They have a emergency oral contraceptive pill. That's just in case. And there's Planned Parenthood and, of course, abortion. All of this to control the problem of physical birth when people don't want to have babies or don't want to have children, and nature takes its course and they get pregnant. So anyhow, as you can see, the cosmos has a big solution to the problem of physical birth. You could take a morning after pill, or you could take a night before pill, or a birth control shot, or a birth control pill, or yada, yada, yada. Excuse me for using that kind of language, but you see what I'm talking about. And when it comes to physical death, what kind of problems and what kind of solutions does the world offer here? The solution that the world has for physical death is to freeze dry the human body or put you in some sort of cybergenetics so that they can wake you up later on when some kind of cure is developed for whatever it is that might have taken you out. Some people want to be cremated. Some people want to be buried. Some people want to be frozen to be thawed out later. But man, left to his own imagination, can come up with some really dumb stuff, can't he? So whether it's physical birth or physical death, people come up with really weird answers in the cosmos. This is their answers to the problem that you and I face. And you know who comes up with some of the weirdest answers? That's the politicians. They come up with even dumber stuff. What may or may not save our nation or put us back on track. But you may know the cosmic vortex as the Zeitgeist, as I said. Zeit is a German word that means time, and Geist is a German word that means spirit. And so the Zeitgeist is the spirit of the times. And technically, it's the intellectual, cultural, ethical, political climate of an era. It's the world view that is so prevalent today. And you may be even calling it by the biblical name of worldly or worldlessness. But it is the concerned idea about the world or the affairs of the world, even to the neglect of the spiritual life. So if you have a Christian child or a Christian grandchild, and they've gone off to college and they've gotten into some sort of worldly thing, maybe they've been sucked into the cosmic vortex. Maybe they've been induced into the Zeitgeist and thinking that this is the key that I'm looking for. This is where happiness is found. There are many believing parents listening to me today. And you have children that are in this cosmic vortex. You may say, since my child went off to college, they have backslidden. You may say, my child is in reversionism. But it's the same thing. They have gotten sucked into the cosmic vortex, into the lure of the world, into the spirit of the times. And usually it's with a cosmic evangelist that recruits them and pulls them along the way. Now, we're going to go look at a passage of Scripture. We're going to look at a verse, and we're going to see how this happens, how someone can be sucked into the cosmic vortex by a cosmic evangelist. Keep this in mind as your children bring home friends from college, and you begin to see the sort of people that they're running around with, and you may be able to identify the cosmic evangelist. We're going to go to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to begin at verse 11. And this is the story that you know as the prodigal son. I'm going to add some additional insight to this story as we go through it today. But our Lord Jesus Christ taught this parable, and here's what he said. A certain man had two sons. Now, you may know something about sibling rivalry if you've had more than one child. And so maybe there was sibling rivalry here. Maybe there was a household in conflict. I've seen that sibling rivalry in my household when all four children were living at home. But this particular father had two sons. And these two sons, one of them was Mr. Self-Righteous. And he could be pretty obnoxious. And the other one was Mr. Lasciviousness. And he could be pretty solicitous when he wanted to. Solicitous. And this means pretty living on the wild side of life. So you have two different boys. You have Frick, that's the older son, and you have Frack, that's the younger son. And you have Mr. Self-Righteous being Frick, and Mr. Lascivious, or Solicious, being Frack. And so we have two sons with two different sin nature trends. Maybe it's no wonder, and I'm suggesting this, the Bible doesn't say it, but maybe it's no wonder that the dad let him leave. Maybe the dad just needed some peace and quiet, and he was tired of hearing him argue. Maybe one of his friends, maybe the young man in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, had an outside friend, an outside confidant. And he told him where the party was going on, where the big city lights were glowing, and why don't we go down together, and I'll go with you, and I'll pack up and go too. So maybe there were two of them that left. I don't know. The Bible doesn't indicate it. But I'm just thinking in terms of how things normally work. When a kid decides to leave, it's normally not with himself. He usually has a confidant, an accomplice. And so whatever this outside influence might have said, maybe it was a believer, a believing person, or maybe it was an unbeliever. Whoever it was, they lured him into the cosmic vortex with the promise that if he would just collect his inheritance and if they could just get out of there, they could have a lot better lifestyle. And I'm sure the sibling rivalry probably played a large part of it, because I'm sure that Frack, the younger son, was sick and tired of Frick, his older brother, always lording over him of what a great guy he was and what a terrible jerk Frack was. Now, James 1:14 tells us, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." Everybody doesn't have the same sin nature trends. The younger son had a different sin nature trend than the older son. But this younger son was probably fed a line of bull by some cosmic evangelist, luring him into getting his money and taking off and going down the My Way highway. We've talked about that before on this radio show. The My Way highway. But whatever it is, remember this, that different children have different lust patterns. And you can have four children, you can raise them all the same, and they'll all four have different areas of weakness. This is the original sin that we receive from Adam because we're born into this world. We're kin to Adam. The Bible says, "For by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and now death is passed on all. For all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death." And so the influence of spiritual death into the life of every person that is born means that we're all receiving a genetically formed old sin nature. And they don't all have the same patterns. They don't all have the same trends. Some people have a weakness for money. Some people have a weakness for alcohol. Some people have a weakness for drugs. Some people have a weakness for fame, a weakness for recognition, a weakness for sex. It could be any different area. This young man had a weakness for the parties. Maybe he had been dominated by his older brother so long that he was rather to get out and live life to the fullest and live it on his own. But remember that the Bible says evil friends corrupt good morals in 1 Corinthians 15:33. And this is the biggest test that any parent or grandparent has to have, is making sure that your child does not get hooked up with that mouthful of teeth that tells the big lie, oh, yes, we're going to go to church. Oh, yes, we're going to do this or that. And as soon as they're out of sight, they do exactly the opposite. A friend of mine who's a pastor said, when a Christian is led astray by his desire to enjoy the cosmic system, the result is arrogance and the loss of discernment. I'll say that again. When a Christian is led astray by his desire to enjoy the cosmic system, the result is arrogance and the loss of discernment. The cosmic system is a vortex that spins constantly, and most kids, when they get into it, have no idea what's happening to them. Maybe they get off to college and go to a fraternity party, or maybe they go off for the weekend on a senior trip and they get hooked up with the wrong person, with a person who is an evil friend, and they lead them into the cosmic vortex, telling them that it's all right, just this one time you could try it. And the next thing you know, this kid who tried it just this one time is now trapped, spinning out of control, like a car in a tornado, just being spun around and around and around and ripped apart. And this kid will be deposited miles and miles away from his parents. And I mean physically, he will be destroyed by the lure of the world. This is what Satan seeks to do. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion, seeking who he can destroy. And the cosmic vortex is one of the ways that he does it, because that's one of the enemies that we face, which is the lure of the world. Combine that with the trend of your old sin nature, and then you have a danger for a young person when they leave home and when they enter college or when they enter the workforce. So in Luke 15, verse 12, here's what the Bible says. I'll go back to verse 11. Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. Now, verse 12. And the younger of the sons said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. The portion of goods that the younger son had coming was one-third of everything that the father had. The older son would get two-thirds. And so he took his one-third, the cash settlement that he took. He didn't have time to wait for his father to die. And I think that the father knew that this young man was going to have to learn the hard way. He couldn't learn the easy way. You may wonder why the father would go ahead and settle up with him now. And I think it's because the father knew that he was leaving one way or the other, and he wanted to at least give him a stipend, something to carry him. And perhaps that's what it was. I don't know. But I know this, that he got his inheritance, and it says that not many days after this, he took a journey into a far country, and that invisible friend may be there. Don't forget this. Maybe that cosmic evangelist that recruited him is right there alongside him. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. That's a pretty nice way of saying he got plastered and lost everything that he had. They weren't doing drugs in those days, but he probably got plastered on wine. He probably got hooked up with some women. He spent all of his money on wine and women, and he was broke. And maybe his friend was with him, and maybe he bought wine and women for his friend. I'm just assuming that could have happened. When the Bible says that he wasted his inheritance with riotous living, that's a euphemism, is what it is. It means the riotous lifestyle, and it's indulging in the vices, or to prolificate, to get wildly extravagant. And so whatever he did, it didn't take him long to blow every dime that he had. I know a story of a man that blew $80,000 in New York City in one night. A very famous man who received a check for $80,000 for a patent that he had invented. And in one night, when he woke up the next morning, all $80,000 was gone. Now you can imagine some of what might have happened. But this is how easy it can happen. And if your children or your grandchildren have an old sin nature trend in the area of lasciviousness, if they have a trend to indulge in the vices of the world, then the vortex will take them there. And you can bet that a cosmic evangelist will come along to go along for the ride and encourage them to go as well. And then you can bet when all the money's spent and when the hard times hit, the rider, the cosmic evangelist, will leave and the boy or the girl will be there by themselves. So in Luke 15:14, he spent everything that he had and a mighty famine arose in the land and he began to be in want. When the Bible says that he spent everything that he had, this means that he was broke. And where did it go? Who knows where it went? Now today, someone might have said, we'll call Dad and Dad send money. You've seen football games or basketball games on a college campus when a young person would hold up a sign and said, Dad, send money. Well, this youngster couldn't do that. And a mighty famine hit. These are economic hard times, and he was in want. The Bible says he was in want. It means that he had no food, and he had no money, and more than likely, if he had a friend go along with him, the friend has now abandoned him, and he has one final option, one final choice, one final, oh no, I didn't think it would come to this, but it's time to get a job. Yes, Junior had to get a job. Isn't that a shame? Junior had to learn the hard way. He couldn't learn the easy way. And guess what his job was? The Bible says this in verse 15 of Luke 15. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent into the fields to feed the swine. Now keep in mind, this is a Jewish child and they did not eat pork. And keep in mind that a citizen of that country was probably not a Jew. So he might have had a good laugh, wondering how long this little Jewish boy was going to last feeding those pigs. But I can tell you, this is an extreme case of self-induced misery as well as enforced humility by God. Enforced humility is what God puts into our life when we can't have genuine humility. Genuine humility is you learning the easy way, you doing the right thing the right way. And enforced humility is when God has to lower the boom. And God will lower the boom. And if you've got a child or a grandchild that has been sucked into the cosmic vortex by the lure of the world, if you will be patient and if you will wait, this child will hit rock bottom. That's for sure. If you try to bail them out and if you try to help them, you're only going to make it worse. Because you will notice that the father did not go running down there looking for his boy. The father stayed home. The father turned it over to the Lord, I'm assuming. Just like you can turn your child or you can turn your grandchild over to the Lord. In verse 17, the Bible says, well, let me back up to verse 16. He would have filled his belly with the slop that the pigs were eating, because no man gave him anything to eat. Then he came to himself in verse 17. And this is the key now. This is the key to living and not dying. Had he not come to himself, he would have died eventually. He came to himself. This is genuine humility that's being brought on by enforced humility. Remember in 1 Peter 5:5, the Bible clearly says that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And then in verse 6, so humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. And in James 4:10, the Bible clearly says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. A humility profile is a wonderful thing to have in your personality, not an arrogant profile. Satan had an arrogant profile when he assumed that he would assume the throne of God. But a humility profile, that's what our Lord Jesus Christ had when the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ in Philippians 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, that he humbled himself. And so the humility profile here, he humbled himself. He came to himself. You know, very few young people that have a quarrel with a parent are able to go back and admit that they've been wrong. And I think one of the keys is that this parent did not argue and did not fight with his child before he left. I think this dad knew that this was a good boy, but he also knew that this kid was going to have to learn the hard way. He couldn't learn the easy way. And I think this parent knew that the Lord would protect him. So he came to himself. He made a volitional decision. And the first thing that he had to admit is, I blew it. That's a very hard thing for a person in the cosmic vortex to say. I blew it. I made a mistake. I made a wrong decision. I thought I could handle it, but I can't. I thought I was smart enough to deal with it, but I'm not. That takes a lot of humility. And that's why a lot of kids that get sucked into the cosmic vortex, kids that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, never get out and eventually die the sin unto death. They go to heaven, they have eternal life, but they're minus rewards because they didn't have the humility to admit their mistake. This young man said in verse 18, I will go to my father and I will admit my sin. This is a picture of you using problem-solving device number one, which is the rebound technique. Problem-solving device number one, how do I deal with my sin? And the Bible clearly says if we will confess our sin, then God is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all wrongdoing. This happens not only in the New Testament, also in the Old Testament, Psalm 32, 4 and 5, where David did exactly the same thing. And he had to admit his sin to God and not try to hide it, not cover it up. This young man went home to face his father and admit that he sinned. This is the only way any believer can resume his spiritual life once he's gotten out of fellowship with God. Once you've broken ties with God and gotten out of fellowship and into reversionism by entering into the cosmic vortex, the only way you can get out of the cosmic vortex is to have a objective dose of humility so that you can take a good look at yourself and realize what's happening. Most of the time when people are in the cosmic vortex, things are spinning so fast, life is at such a hectic pace that they never really see themselves as they really are. So he went to his father and he admitted his failure and his sin. See, he was temporarily dead. Not spiritually dead, but temporarily spiritually dead. Temporarily out of fellowship with his father. And that's a picture of you or I being temporarily out of fellowship with God by means of personal sin in our life. We have to go to our Heavenly Father. We have to admit our sin. And then he's faithful and just to forgive us. This takes a good dose of objective humility. And when you can do that, then you can be restored to fellowship with your God, and you can resume your spiritual life. That's what we're going to see happen here. You're going to see this young man be restored to fellowship with his father, and you're going to see his life resume. So I thank you for listening today. But it's not all of it. If you'll come back next Sunday, we'll continue this study on the cosmic vortex. And we'll talk more about it. I'll try to do a better job of explaining it to you, so that you will see exactly how this thing works. But until then, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you now for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.